Greetings, friends. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God. This is part two of Why Church at Home. And it's becoming increasingly popular to study the Bible at home, to go over the Word of God at home, because people are not getting what they need in church. And recently in San Diego County, there was a minister who had a Bible study in his home, and the county said, oh, you can't have any church meetings at home because that contradicts the zoning code. And there was a great furor about it, and finally they backed down and they said, well, no, you can have your Bible study at home. In having Bible study at home, let's think about this for a minute. Let's look at it from a civil point of view, from the civil government. What if one day a week, every home had Bible study at home to learn the Word of God? And what if, because people were taught the commandments of God, the Word of God, to love their neighbor, love themselves, love God, murder went down, robbery went down, wife beating went down, abuse went down, people became more civil? You know, that would be the result of it. But the truth is, too many people hate God, too many people want God out of their lives, and as we're going to see as we go through many of these, Why Church at Home, and all of the other topics that we will cover, that in fact, they are eliminating God from church. And this is causing a lot of people to try and find a church where they're taught the truth, to try and find someone who is going to be faithful to God. And so they resort to begin to study their Bibles at home. Now, last time I told you about this book, Christianity Without God. Now, that's rather shocking, that's rather bold, that's rather daring. But it shows you exactly how men really hate God. Oh, they want some of the moral values that God has, because they realize that that has value to them. But they don't want God. So Lloyd Gearing, in his book, he says this. Here's how they're getting rid of God. So appeal to human rights led in turn to the abolition of slavery and the rejection of racism, the emancipation of women, and the acceptance of homosexuals. All these emancipations evolved out of the Christian matrix and today are even sometimes referred to as Christian values. Well, Christian values have to be based on the Word of God. And if you want to get rid of God and get rid of His Word, how on earth can you have Christian values? Yet each of these innovations, which are developed because of humanism, because of getting rid of God, because of the do-goodism of men, some causes are good, some causes are not good, but always remember this, every evil comes with an appeal to do good, an appeal to free, an appeal to give liberty. So let's see where this goes. So he continues, yet each of these innovations has pitted the developing secular world against the entrenched dogma of conventional Christianity. The emancipation already won, along with those still in the progress of being achieved, have been made possible only because at the same time we have also been steadily emancipating ourselves from obedience to a supposed supreme heavenly Father, whose revealed will was not to be questioned. So we say, oh, I don't like this commandment. I don't like that commandment. I don't like what God tells me to do. So we're going to get rid of God. And they have been very successful in doing so, haven't they? But one thing for sure, they are not causing God to not exist. He is still there. His laws still work. So Gehring continues, secular humanists today, however, know that the world's future is, as never before in human history, dependent upon us human beings. In other words, human beings are going to save themselves. Pray tell, in history, when did human beings ever really save themselves? Never happened. Because the modern global secular humanist world stands in unbroken line of descent from the Christendom of the past. No, it does not. Secularism is leaving God. So Gehring continues, we can justifiably speak of this post-Christian dispensation as a further but different form of Christianity. Now, it is Christianity without God. Well, let's go to the Bible and see a prophecy of this. This is not the first time that men have tried this. This is not the first time that men have tried to reject God and His Word and His truth. Let's go to the book of Psalms and let's see what David prophesied concerning this very thing. Actually, an end time prophecy. And we're seeing it being fulfilled right before our very eyes. And right while we're doing the videotaping of this, the UN for the year 2009 is having all of its annual meetings. And looking at the circus that is going on there at the United Nations, I cannot help but think of what God said in Daniel the 4th chapter concerning the men who come into power, that the majority of them are the basest of men. And as you watch the UN, I rest my case. Now here in Psalm 2, and this is what the UN is trying to do. This is what the secular atheists and agnostics are trying to do. And it's also affecting all of the churches. And we'll get into the details of that later. But here in this Psalm, Psalm 2, it says, why do the heathen rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His Christ. Oh, yes, let's have all religions. Oh, they're wonderful, but not Christianity. Oh, yes, let's have all prophets, but not Christ. Oh, well, we'll accept Him if He's a prophet like Mohammed. But to be the one and the only Savior? No way. So what we're going to see, their fight is futile. Though it affects all of us today, right now, the end result is their fight is going to be futile because Jesus Christ is going to return and set up the kingdom of God and take away all the kingdoms of this world from the corrupt hands of men, destroy all religions that are in this world. And by the way, you can go on to our website, our other website, cbcg.org, and you can download a series of sermons I gave entitled, Why God Hates Religion. And if there's any one thing the atheists have right is this. The religions of this world and the major Christian religions that are in the world are not of God. So the atheist makes the mistake of saying, well, then, if that's not of God, how can I find God? He says, we reject God. Well, you just go from one trap to another trap, from one pit to another pit, from one net to another net, from one confusion to another confusion, from one set of lies to another set of lies. So here's their goal. Verse 3. Let us break their bands asunder, that is, God the Father and Jesus Christ, and cast away their cords from us. No connection with God. Now, if people want that, because God has set before all of us life and death, blessing and cursing, they can choose either one. And if they choose to reject God, let's see God's reaction. He'll let them get away with it for a while. But what is the result of it within the private lives of these individuals? That's another thing we need to look at, because the Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. Verse 4, Psalm 2. He who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord scoffs at them. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath, and in his fury he terrifies them. And all you have to do is read the book of Revelation to know and understand that that is true. It's going to happen. And here's a prophecy of the coming kingdom. Verse 6. Yea, I have set my king upon my holy mountain of Zion. I will declare the decree of the Lord. He has said to me, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. That's about the first coming of Christ. Now here's a prophecy of his second coming. And this is going to happen, because I'm here to tell you, no man, no system, nor organization of nations, no armies of men are going to save mankind. Only Jesus Christ returning to this earth in the great power and glory of God the Father is going to save the world. And only He can save you individually. No religion can save you. No church can save you. Only God can. So that's why at Church at Home, we teach the Word of God. How do you find God? Where is God? What does His Word teach us? How do we develop a relationship with Him? All of these things we will have at Church at Home, as well as more detailed and in-depth studies on our other website, cbcg.org, which stands for Christian Biblical Church of God. So verse 8 says, ask of me, that is Christ asking the Father, and I will give the nations for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession, because He's going to rule over all the earth. And we'll have a lot to say about that as we go down in the future at Church and Home. Here's what's going to happen to them. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So now here's the counsel. Here's God's counsel. He says, now be wise, O kings. Be admonished, O judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way, for His wrath can flame up in a moment. The last sentence says, blessed are all who take refuge in Him. And that's part of the purpose of Church at Home. You can take refuge in God in your home. You can learn and study about God. So when people say, well, you know, I can't understand the Bible, or you're told you need a priest or you need a minister. No, you don't. You just need to start with the things that are easy to understand. And we'll go through some of those as we do the various videos that we have for Church at Home. Now let's continue on and see what else they are saying. So what is happening? Secularization of Christianity did not come suddenly. Rather, it came slowly, like a steady corrosion of faith and trust in God, and it's resulting in the destruction of the knowledge of God, of our Creator. So Gehring brags and says this, during the 20th century, God was slowly vanishing from the public consciousness and was no longer being appealed to by any public bodies in times of pestilence, war, drought, as once was the case. No, we try and solve it ourselves. Let me ask you a question. Though FEMA can do a pretty good job at times, what happened in some of the hurricanes? Can they stop them? No. And you need to understand, God uses the weather to get people's attention, to punish them for their sins, and to let them know that He's not happy. And let them know they need to seek Him. Now, those who prayed to God during some of these events, They were delivered miraculously. Maybe they lost all their possessions, but they still had their lives. And you can hear story after story how a lot of people, you know, didn't believe too much in God, but when they were caught smack right in the middle of a hurricane, oh, God, help me! And God heard and answered the prayer because God is gracious and loving and kind and slow to anger. And the whole purpose of these things is to get people to turn to God. Now notice what he says here. Even in churches, it is rare to hear prayers beseeching God, say, to break the current drought, asking him to provide a fine day for Sunday school picnic. Those would only be done in jest today. No, what do we have today? Oh, let's find what kind of communion we can have for the abominable marriage homosexuals so they can be accepted with God. Isn't that lovely? No, God says that's a filthy abomination. Now, there is freedom of speech and no laws to be made by Congress to abridge free speech. And all of the laws that they have made are unconstitutional. Let's go on. So here's what he's bragging about. All public bodies, national and international, are now fully aware that humans themselves must solve the problems of our time and that there is no God out there who can be appealed to when all else fails. Now that says it all, doesn't it? What human being has the power to replace God? God made every one of us, and yet look at how people treat God. Look what they preach. In their arrogance and their foolishness, as we saw. When they are intelligent and profess themselves to be wise, they become fools, and this writing proves it. This book, Christianity Without God, is a stunning book and was the very reason why we now have church at home. The once public face of God has been forced to retreat to the subjective consciousness of devout individuals and traditional church gatherings. And even in those people, they're trying to take away God. And do you not see almost every depiction of someone who believes in God as stupid, as foolish? Yes, indeed. Because the powers that be in the media have no room for God. Continuing, he says, God has been privatized. No longer public. Oh, you can swear, you can curse, you can do demonstrations in the name of Allah. But how dare you gather to pray to God the Father and Jesus Christ? Do you realize what happened when the governor of Georgia stood up publicly and prayed publicly because they had a terrible drought here 2 years ago in Georgia, and he prayed and confessed the sins of the people of Georgia and asked the people of Georgia to also repent to God that he would restore the rain? What was the result of that prayer? God answered it. God heard it because, you see, God is interested in repentance. And every time there's repentance, God will answer. God will hear. And shortly after that, the rain started. The rain came. Privatized. What has remained are the values inherited from the Christian past. Values which continue to lead to fresh emancipations and human ideals, and it is these values which constitute Christianity without God. So they've tried to get rid of everything. Now we have thought police, don't we? Trying to tell you what to think, what to do. And we'll see later when we get into some prophecies. there is a coming of the mark of the beast, which is not just to buy and sell. It is to control your thoughts and to get you to give up your free choice to a man, the Antichrist, and to a world system. So that's where it's leading to. Now let's also see some other things that's interesting for us to understand here. Now, a lot of people do not know about the Jesus Seminar, and its founder, Robert W. Funk, has recently passed away, but his work continues on full blast. So here's what he says about the coming radical reformation, because that's what they want. They want a radical reformation. Don't you recall politically in the election in 2008, what was the mantra of that? Change you can believe in. Hope you can see. What do we have? An utter disaster. Likewise, when they try and get rid of God and amalgamate it into a one-world religion, which they're going to try to do, and I will bring you the anthology of world scriptures and what they do. And let me tell you, it will blow you away. You do not know how far down the road these things have come, because you have not been told these things in church. And the ministers and pastors have not warned the people. Rather, they're interested in numbers. They're interested in money. They're interested in building their little empire. And rather than being servants of God and believing the word of God, and we'll cover that in another sermon, they are more interested in being television personalities, warm and pleasing and fuzzy to people, so that everyone will feel good and everyone will get along, and they leave aside the commandments of God and the word of God. All they take is name, all they use the Bible. But as we will see, when they use the Bible, they add to or take away from, and God says, you're not to do that. So how can they represent God? So here's what Robert Funk wrote of the coming radical reformation. The God of the metaphysical age is dead. Well, if God suddenly didn't exist, nothing in the world or universe would exist. It would collapse from what they say is the Big Bang down to nothing again. There is not a personal God out there external to human beings and the material world. What did we just read in Psalm 2? Let us cut their bands asunder. Let us cast their cords away. Because men don't like to be controlled by God. Well, the truth is, God doesn't want to control you. God wants you to control yourself with His laws and commandments and His Word and His Spirit and the teachings from the Bible. And that's what we're going to teach you at Church at Home. We must reckon with a deep crisis in God talk, and replace it with talk about whether the universe has meaning or whether human life has purpose. Isn't that something? Here are these great braggarts saying, oh, we don't need God. Well, please tell us, what's the purpose in life? Well, I don't know. Well, why this great creation made in the way that we are and there's no purpose? Well, the Bible tells us the purpose of what God created us for. And we'll also bring that out. And what you're going to find, rather than the Bible being an archaic, ancient book that should no longer be used, it tells you all about God and all about the plan of God. But there are certain things that God demands us to do in order for that knowledge to be given to us. It's kind of like this. If someone gave you a check for $100,000, and you said, oh, I don't believe that check. Someone said, well, look, it's certified. Cashier's check. Ah, no. Well, it also says it's absolutely guaranteed. There's no way that you won't be paid. Ah, no. Whoever gave you that is just lying to you. Well, same way with the Word of God. People say, oh, you don't need the Word of God. That was written by men, and men lie. And so it's just a bunch of myths that religions put together. That's how these men think. Well, that's not the way God thinks. Now, here's something. What is the basis of all of this thinking? Aldous Huxley, in 1937, proclamation of his philosophy of meaninglessness. They don't want you to have a purpose. They don't want you to have a goal. They don't want you to have a reason for living. Yet God has created you for a purpose, for a reason, and so that you, in the long run, can become like Him. Oh, no. We want meaninglessness. So he says, I had denials for not wanting the world to have a meaning. Consequently, I assumed that it had none, and I was able without any difficulty to find satisfying reasons for this assumption. For myself, as no doubt for most of my contemporaries, the philosophy of meaninglessness was essentially an instrument of liberation. From a certain system of morality, we objected to the morality because it interfered with our sexual freedom. We objected to the political and economic system because it was unjust. There was one admirable, simple method of justifying ourselves in our political erotic revolt. We could deny that the world had any meaning whatsoever. Then he brags. Similar tactics have been accomplished during the 18th century for the same reasons. The chief reason for being philosophical was that one might be free from prejudices, above all prejudices of a sexual nature. So that's the reason for it. Now, there are many, many others that go along with it. Now, what I want to do is tell you about a book that you can order, you can write in for. It is called Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, Which? This is an essential book for you to have. Never has there been a book that tells you how the Christian world has gone wrong. This book will tell you what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with Christianity, how we got there, and that the occult holidays that this world keeps in the name of Christ are an abomination and an affront and an absolute blasphemy to God. Then it takes you step by step through the Sabbath and holy days of God, and it will begin to show you the meaning of what God has in His creation and the purpose for it. So there is purpose for your life. There is meaning to your life. There is meaning to the history that has gone on in the past. There is meaning to what is happening today. And you need to understand that. If you want to find the real reason why the Christianity today is the way that it is, you need this book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, Which? And this is the most important fundamental book that you need. Now, you can go to our ordering section, and you can order it. And for the first ones that order it, we'll send it to you at no cost. Now, this is Fred Colder saying goodbye until next time, and I hope that you enjoy church at home and that you have your own church at home above and beyond what we have with the video cast. And don't forget to go to our other website, cbcg.org, for in-depth sermons and teachings covering all the subjects in the Bible. And that will give you a great understanding of what is happening in the world and how to understand the Word of God. So until next time, so long.